Paul Lesko, and I'm an attorney at Piper, Wolf, Carr, Kane, and Conway.
All right. And also, you are a member of the plaintiff's executive committee that worked out the settlement with Bayer just announced yesterday.
That's correct.
Okay, very good. And a chunk of money up to $400 million going to plaintiffs who suffered dicamba damage. And Bayer told me yesterday it's from 2015 through 2020. You're here today to tell us what the next steps are, right?
Sure. Yeah. And the next steps in the process are there actually will be a process put together by which those who have suffered harm due to the dicambas at issue in this case can go through. And they'll then through that process, if the producers and farmers can show that they had dicamba damage, dicamba symptomology, and yield loss, that they will get paid for their losses.
All right. So give us a little bit of background on you, your law firm's involvement in this. You have represented quite a few Midwest growers. Is that correct?
That's correct. We got involved in these cases in 2017. That's when the first big batch of damages was out there. The first cases that we filed, we represented over 20 Arkansas soybean farmers. That had damage. Since then, we've also amended our complaint and added other plaintiffs, including plaintiffs from Illinois, Missouri, Nebraska, and other states, and not just soybean farmers, but we have some tree nurseries and other and tobacco client also.
Okay, and I don't believe you were the firm that represented Bader Farms in Southeast Missouri who won a jury award, correct?
That's correct. We were not that firm.
Right. Okay. And so the way it was explained to me, as we've been following this along, of course, is that Bader was the only one to receive a judgment. So in your judgment, is this settlement adequate and will it help these folks that were affected by drift and volatility of the product?
I think it will. As the settlement is structured, it's going for any yield loss that, say, soybean farmers have. They will be fully compensated for the yield loss that they can show. So I think, you know, when you're able to get a settlement that gets the people that are hurt 100 cents on the dollar, that's a good settlement. Because, I mean, I'm sure, as you know, from most cases that are out there, you know, it's a rare case where everybody gets their total damages. In it. So this is a good result.
Okay. So the process, you know, as we did interviews, as this was all unfolding, you know, we heard things from experts all the way down to farmers of, you know, about how do you even figure out what the yield loss is? So what is the process for doing that?
The process is still being put together, and there will be a number of different possibilities.
Like
recognizing everybody, recognizing that everybody's fields are you know, are different, and their documentation may be different. So, in you know some instances, it the farmer may have very good records and may have maybe a field that they've used for 10 years, and you can see that there were aberrations in the years where they had dicamba damage. And, you know, in other cases, you know, it might have to be comparisons to county average. So the process that's going to be put together will allow flexibility. It's not going to be just one way to do it. It's going to be able to work so that, you know, anyone who is harmed, you know, can show the yield losses that they suffered.
Does the process need the judge's approval?
It does not, no. So the process, and it's still being worked out. There will be a, you know, an independent third party that will, you know, look at everything and make sure it's correct. But no, it will not require the judge that's overseeing the MDL approval.
Okay. Now, how many clients do you represent in this?
Currently on file, we have about 40 clients that are on file. We have more clients that aren't on file, and as I'm sure you can imagine, once the settlement was announced, we are getting phone calls.
Sure, and definitely that was part of the conversation from Bayer, is that this is to settle the filed and unfiled claims. So you represent among those 40 and more you anticipate from Arkansas and Missouri, and did you mention any other states? I'm sorry.
Yeah, Illinois, Kansas, Arkansas, Missouri, Illinois, Nebraska, Kansas, North Carolina also. Sorry, it's hard to keep all the straights, all the states.
I understand. Yeah, I understand. Okay, so looking ahead, as well, I wanted to go back to something you had in your release, which is something that we have also reported, but wanted you to have a chance to mention it, about the number of acres affected. And Kevin Bradley, Dr. Kevin Bradley, the lead wheat scientist at the University of Missouri, had an estimate in 2017 that is no doubt increased, because we know there have been reports of damages made to the Department of Agriculture in Missouri. But can you talk about what we're looking at in terms of nationwide?
Sure. In 2017, Dr. Bradley did a survey of complaints that were filed across multiple departments of agriculture. And he estimated that, you know, from, you know, the complaints that he'd heard, that there were over 3.7 million acres of soybeans that were damaged in 2017 alone. And, you know, he thought his, you know, numbers were probably conservative, because not everybody reports damage. So those numbers, you know, could be as low as, you know, I mean, they could be higher, you know, up to maybe a factor of five, if not more. And obviously damages continued through 2018, 2019, and even now in 2020, some of our clients are calling us and saying they're seeing damage again now. So we're talking about millions of acres of soybeans that have been damaged over the last few years. And this settlement should hopefully get everybody, you know, compensation for these years of losses they've had to their yield.
As you and I both know, and our listeners know, there was a court ruling that put an end, or so we thought, to the use of dicamba on June 3rd. But then the EPA put out guidance that their cancellation order would not go into effect until the end of July. And as we know, the back and forth of that, where the court upheld that, even though the plaintiffs challenged it. So farmers can still apply if it's still legal to apply in their states. We also know that dicamba is going through re-registration, the re-registration process. Bayer tells me that they're confident that they will get it approved for 2021, that they have more data than that was submitted to the court. What is the situation going forward? Do you anticipate more litigation?
Yeah, I think, you know, the situation going forward is it's unclear. You know, I think the EPA, with striking the labels, the 2020 labels, has very much left in doubt what's going to happen in 2021. And, you know, I'm sure Bayer, you know, it says that, you know, they're confident they're going to get their registration back. But, I mean, there's a real question mark over that. The Ninth Circuit, you know, said that the EPA dropped the ball and should not have approved this. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, what more information is Bayer going to have to come forward with, because there've been, you know, there's been damage every single year. And what Bayer's really relied upon is training's a solution. Well, if training is a solution, why in last year in Illinois, which is one of the states that received the most training, had a record amount of damage? I mean, that, you know, to me says that this isn't a training problem. It's a defective product problem. This is a product that if you apply according to the label, it's still going to drift. It's still going to go somewhere else, and it's still going to potentially cause damage. So, to go back to your question, I think this leaves the future uncertain. Will this product be around legally in 2021? I don't know. And obviously, if the product is not legal in 2021 and people are tempted to still use it because they still have Xtend seeds, nobody can, you know, see into the future. But I mean, 2021 could be a very interesting and potentially messy year.
Anything else you'd like to add, Paul?
You know, with the settlement, This is one where farmers who have been hurt will need to actually step forward and take steps in order to ensure that they receive some of the settlement. They're not just going to get checks in the mail if they, you know, sit back. They need to actually take affirmative steps. So once the claims process is put in place, they can obviously do it themselves. However, you know, we would hope that they would, you know, talk to an attorney. You know, we would hope they would talk to us, but no matter what they should do is talk to an attorney that's out there that can give them guidance so that they have the best chance of going through this process to ensure they get the maximum amount of money that they can to compensate themselves for the injury that they suffered for year after year after year.
And if I recall correctly, Bayer said that the first $5 billion would be going out in 2020 and the other half in 2021. So is it your understanding that farmers could begin getting some monies this year, or is that still in question?
I think the amounts that you're talking there had to do with the glyphosate settlement.
Okay.
The dicamba settlement, the process hasn't been put together on when payments would go out. But I would be hopeful. I'm an optimistic person. I would be hopeful that at least for damages that have occurred prior to this year, that maybe a process can be put together so that, you know, some of the people who have been damaged for so many years can get some, you know, really needed compensation now. And then that maybe in, you know, after that, maybe in 2021, you can start looking at compensation for 2020. It's unknown right now, but I do hope that, you know, there is some hope coming, hopefully by the end of this year, if not early next year.
All right. Very good. I did have a question I was going to ask you or a comment and see what you thought about it. But as each year has progressed, there have been more farmers growing these Xtend crops with this system, using this system. And, you know, theoretically, if that's the case and fewer farmers are using other products that are not resistant to these chemicals, that perhaps there would be less damage. Do you have any comments about that or thoughts about that?
I think the only place you'll have less damage would be in the areas where the seed has this resistance. So I think you will see less damage to soybeans just because you have farmers who year after year have been hurt by this product, eventually have to cave and buy this product. But with an increased amount of usage of dicamba over soybeans and dicamba over cotton, and soon dicamba over corn, I think you're going to see damage to other crops that do not have dicamba resistance. So I think you're going to see still similar amounts of damage. It's just going to change from crop types, less soybeans, but more of other crops, say, you know, fruit trees or tomatoes. Things, you know, other things outside of soybeans will start getting damaged more.
Anything else?
I think that's it. Just that, you know, this is, you know, again, it's one of those processes that farmers will need to take affirmative steps. So if anyone has had damage, that, you know, we hope that they take those steps, talk to an attorney about what their rights are, and, you know, explore the best way for them to get compensation.